The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good types.
But so many poor choices.
This is the Homance Chronicles, and I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nicole. And we've already been giggling away, so let's not, you know, hold off anymore. Just
no
jump
need.
Right in.
Yep.
And introduce our guests for today, because they actually have a book out called Under the Hood, How We Hotwired Our Brain, Calm the Fuck Down, and Let That Shit Go, which it sounds like it's valuable information for pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
So these former therapists, they have now turned comedy influencers and authors, and they've tried to make their self-help vulnerable, but yet still relatable and funny. So welcome to the Therapy Twins, Joan and Jane.
Woo!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. I feel like Joan and Jane are like what we will be in the future once we've gotten like through working for a living and like enjoying our lives. Like that's gonna your future us. Hey girls.
Oh, actually, yeah, because we were counting how many years we worked, and I wasn't even counting factory work or Wendy's. And it was 38 years and 36 years for me of punching a clock in psychiatry.
Ah, that makes me want to barf. Just makes me want to barf. Oh.
God, and how, if you went in saying you came out not.
I was gonna say, how do you listen to people's stuff, we'll call it. I mean, because it's not all traumas, right? But how do you listen to people's stuff day in and day out for that many years?
Well, you know, you have to first actually prepare, practice getting up to actually a full day of listening to people. It's so funny because I thought I could work 8 full hours, meaning listen to people speak for 8 hours and vent. And my mentor at the time laughed right in my face because he's like, you're going to be exhausted after like 1 hour, you know what I mean? And you got to build up to it. And then if you don't sort of protect yourself, like learn how to block the negative energy and not bring that home with you, you know, your life could go negative as well, which is now I'm saying it out loud. Maybe that was my problem. I couldn't separate.
You heard it here in exclusive.
Well, I will let you guys in on a little secret. When people talk to us, they're like, man, it's like we're sitting on a therapy couch. I didn't think I was going to say that on the show. And then I said it on the show. So you're welcome.
Yes. and always a thank
you. Oh, and you know what people would say too, sometimes in the office, they would say, you know, well, I'm not going to lie to you. And I used to say you could. I mean, that doesn't
people do it all the time.
You could. It's not like required that you tell the truth. I mean, it would be nice.
I mean, you are paying for this. Yeah. So it's on you.
I get paid either way. Oh, and some people wouldn't even speak and they would say, do you want me to leave? God, no, I've got all kinds of things in my head I'm working on, you know. Other women do that during sex. I'm joking. I probably did that during sex as well. All kinds of things I was thinking about. In fact, Jane asked me once, did I ever cry during sex? And I thought, why is she even asking me that? And I said, yeah, once, because I didn't get an orgasm. I think I said that was the only reason I would cry. Why else would you cry?
The most innocent response ever.
I did read a book though, and now of course the title is escaping me, but it was talking about how women, you know, have such a more emotional experience when they have sex versus men, and that it's not uncommon for women to cry because of a release. So orgasms a release, and so crying's a release, and so sometimes they go. But like, I can't imagine. I've not cried during sex. I can't imagine how the guy would feel. Like, what
well, you know
happened.
I did once. And I think it was my
oh boy,
my most dysfunctional, I hate that word because all relationships are fine, they're a learning experience, but this particular one, I think he was so glad because
he was glad you cried.
Yeah, because I think he thought it was a better connection, like soulmatey.
He saw it as like you were so emotionally moved in a positive manner, and you're like, I gotta get out of this. Yeah. I can't believe this is happening again. Yeah.
I think I knew the relationship was gonna be so horrible. That's probably why it brought me to tears. Because you know what it was? We were told 1,000 years ago by this really nice, wise old lady at the time. We were a lot younger, and she said, when you walk into a party and you see that person across the room and it's like you're drawn like a moth to a flame.
I remember this.
You know, and she said, and you're so filled with this, I've got to know this person, right? She said, run like hell the other way. And she's right, because
she's not wrong.
We have to be with those people. We're working something out.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It took me a long time to understand that chemistry and fireworks, although it can be passionate, is not healthy.
No. Yeah. No. Even though it's fun, just because it's fun doesn't mean it's right.
You should know that it's, you know, a temporary thing and get out while you're on top. You know,
the ride ends. Yeah.
I've been seeing recently that the constant pursuit of pleasure and just like the continuous need of pleasure is actually not what the intent of life is really is. The whole purpose of us is to find peace and be able to be sedimentary and
to an
extent, right?
Yes.
So like that pleasure seeking that was originally how all of us went to found partners. Mm. It's just so difficult to remove yourself from that.
Oh, I know. Instead, we should search for like, you know, the equivalent of catnip or something, whatever that drug is. And the cats love that. You know, I used to have a lot of addiction in my office. And I remember it's like, this is the younger twin who didn't even want to be a nurse. I just followed her into everything, including the profession.
That's hilarious.
So every so often, I mean, I'd have to say, you know, time fucking out. You mean to tell me, because you suffer from addiction, you're not going to give your cat catnip? It's like, are you fucking kidding me? So you have a problem? You're going to make the cat suffer?
You actually had somebody say that to you? Like, that's a real...
Yes. Yes. I was blown away. You know, I yelled at him enough and he eventually gave that fucking catnip. But it's like, are you kidding me? I'm not going to give you your meds today. You wanted that's like, a refill of your meds. Not until you buy catnip on Amazon and I need to verify it's coming to your house.
I mean, you might have been the best therapist activist a lot of those people ever had, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know. I was walking around this natural mart one time, a long time. My son was little and there was catnip tea bags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the logo said safe for children and it helped them sleep.
Oh.
Yeah, it's used as you can give it to like animals, obviously cats, they have a euphoric experience, but dogs, it decreases anxiety and gives them like, it's like melatonin essentially.
Oh, really? Well, mm-hmm. Catnip is also, it aids in the cat's digestive processes as well as there's one more thing.
Mosquito repellent.
Yeah.
So of course you need to give the cat nip.
Right.
Yeah.
The benefits, you selfish bastard.
God, I know. Unbelievable. Then like I had another guy who bought a wife. That's just, come on.
Ooh, 90 Day Fiance style or just like legitimate?
You know, most of them are sorry afterwards.
Yes,
like, but we could have told you. Every woman could tell you that.
Right. Do you think those types of things are really rooted in like control? Is that the driver control?
I think that the person who did, I think, and I hear it on the news right now, I think Trevor Noah spoke of it, that men aren't having sex for the lowest time in history. Men are having the least amount of sex. And I want to say somebody out there is definitely having sex. And just because you're not, try to look at, you know, if I'm not going to have any sex, I might look at a magazine to see how other girls are dressing and looking. But some of these men, they don't know how to talk to a woman. You know what they'd say in my office? dating is too difficult. So fucking talking to somebody is too fucking difficult for you?
Because catering to somebody is beyond their abilities. They need to be catered to, and that's that.
You know, our uncle, bless him, he lived to be, I think, 93 and a half. Never married, no children.
That's why he lived
and so one long. And probably why he lived so long. But one of the things he said, because he was at our dinner table once, and he said that men don't realize that if they just were a little nicer to women, women would give them the world. So, you know, men, it's not that difficult, but it, you are going to run into that, you know, the so-called bitch that takes advantage of you. But most women just want a little kindness, tenderness, and we will give back.
Right. Well, I mean, usually, and you know, a lot of women currently show them how they want to be loved by actions. Like if you notice, a woman in a relationship will act how she wants to be treated first. Mm-hmm. And then she reacts if you don't treat her the way she's treating you. And I don't think a lot of men pay attention to that because they're just happy about the fact that they're being catered to or they're being mothered, essentially.
Well, I just don't think that men are wired that way. The way that men and women love is different.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so women, you could swap out catered with nurtured. I think like women will nurture and then men will not nurture. And so you can't expect to be loved the same way.
Well, a wonderful guru said that the way you were shown love as a child or the way you felt it is often the way how you express it. So when people would come in for couples, that's the other thing. They'd be like, oh, they don't ever say that this, that, and the other. It's like, well, because we're the best couple, because we were in utero together and can't even get a fucking along. So, you know, people who didn't even get raised together. Yeah. I just said to my ex-husband today that if I were president, marriage would be fucking illegal. It's like people, they get married and they think, well, I wasn't raised by this person, but let me go in a room together, same fucking bed. Are you kidding me? The poor people came up with that. Rich people had different quarters, separate quarters, bathroom, bedroom.
Yeah, they were smarter.
And a woman said,
well, marriage is political.
They were wealthier. Yeah. And a social worker said to me, well, you don't really love your husband. I'm divorced now. You don't really love your husband because you don't sleep in the same bed. I can't sleep in the same bed with anybody, lady.
I was going to say, I hate when people are like, well, you guys don't do the, like what normal couples would. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I signed the normal couple checklist.
Yeah.
And I signed up to be that. What the fuck? Who cares?
Or you're
who cares?
You still love them, but you're not in love. Oh. So you put a preposition, you made it into a prepositional phrase. You put the word in and made it into a phrase. Are you kidding? Like, lady, oh, you ought to run for president. I'd vote for you, you dumb bitch. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
And that wasn't even my therapist. Oh. So she was just vomiting freely for free.
Yeah. Riddled with judgments.
And there's objective comments.
There's a show called Married at First Sight. And one of the therapists I don't know. She's a psychologist, psychiatrist, whatever.
She's a professional something on the board.
She's a professional relationship something.
Qualified to do therapy.
Yeah.
She's got a certification in some shit.
So she's like one of the coaches, we'll say, for the couples on this show. And she revealed, I don't know how many seasons there's been. Let's just say there's been like 14. I think it was like season 10 or 11 or something. She revealed when she was talking to one of the couples that her and her husband don't live together, that they have separate places.
Oh, and wow.
And I mean, they live close to each other. They're like neighbors.
Yeah. But I was going to say, don't they share houses next door to each other? Like they live next door to each other.
I don't know if they're next door or not, but they're close.
I remember another married couple.
Because there was a couple that was
Woody Allen and Mia Farrow. And you know how across the street.
See how that one worked out.
Right.
Sorry, Nicole.
I think that it could work out that way. You know, I mean, do you really want to be with somebody who doesn't want to be with you? You know, I mean, of course, it took me 6 years over the first fucking dude that broke up with me. But after that, I was way better. I Googled how to get over the loss of a love like really fast. And it was jasmine essential oil.
And I realized why you don't use it. Jane had a client, the poor little boy. We both got broken up at the same time. And
not me, you and my former
patient. And Jane's former client. Yes.
Yes.
He was crying. And I was like, oh my God, I have the cure. And it was, I won't. And it was jasmine essential oil. And he smelled it and said, I can never wear that because it literally smelled like trees of flowers. Oh, it was horrible. Yeah.
Very flowery.
No one would sit next to me. It was, but boy, woo, like in a week, I was good. I still have it. You put it under your nose every time you feel like a little bummed. You put it under your nose, and it's hard to find jasmine oil
because lot of the jasmine oils are mixed with other oils. And when you find 100% jasmine, it's like too much money.
I love it.
Oh, it's worth it. It's worth You know what I did after a breakup? I got myself addicted to his cigarettes.
Woo!
Oh,
no, don't ever do it. Don't anyone
sound like a good plan.
Why would you? That's a destructive
tool. Think that's what I was. Because one time, Joan, you remember like HMOs, and you had to pick a primary doctor sometimes with certain insurances, you had to like pick this one primary.
I still have to. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Joan had gone to the place. It was like a building, and she had gone to the place and met the doctor. And at the end of her visit, she says, you know, I have an identical twin sister, and she just made an appointment with you as her new primary. And he said, oh, really? She's like, yeah, Jane has a death wish. I canceled the appointment. I said, I can't go see this doctor. And you told him I have a death wish.
I don't recall that, if that's how she recalls.
Yeah, I recall. It was something like that.
I feel like we just were in a courtroom for a hot second. I don't recall that.
But why would you be going to a primary if you have a death wish?
At the Yale Health Plan, you have to pick a primary.
I loved my primary.
Dr. Smith.
Dr. Smith.
About me. It was something like she's got a death wish.
Well, you want to know why? You know what Dr. Smith did? He was a primary, but he was a teaching, it was a teaching hospital. So he had a bunch of students that were primary care students, you know, MD, but they're going into that group. Med students, that's the name.
That's the name.
And because I was sexually assaulted in 1980, who cares, five maybe? I can't remember that. He wanted to interview me in front of all of those interns. And I agreed because I really believe in teaching hospitals. You know, you got to teach everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So that was good. I liked Dr. Smith.
So you've
not
been
a great primary care, but he was excellent for a therapist.
So you've been pretty open then about your life for a long time. It sounds like okay with sharing very personal details with strangers. So how did you guys come to the realization that you wanted to put it in a book?
Well, you know how everyone hears what they want to hear? I was born with a brain tumor, and sometimes I get facial recognition wrong. So here's what I want to say.
I do that all the time, and I don't have a tumor. I use Nicole as my, is that that person?
The Surgeon General, is that who Vivek Murthy is of the United States?
Sure.
Him. I swear that I saw him speaking about a suicide of a relative in his family, distant relative who maybe suicided. And what he said was actors, actresses, sports figures, billionaires, if they come out with their mental illness, they first of all have money to get anything they want. The rest of us might feel embarrassed or at a workplace or something. So he said, until the professionals come out with their own mental illness, he says, we will never get rid of the stigma. So Jane and I were thinking about it already. She had known a couple of people,
the PhD, yeah. Marsha Linehan, the psychologist, I'm sorry, the PhD, listen to me. She's Marsha Linehan.
PhD. Yeah.
Dr. Marsha Linehan, she came out with her mental illness, and she's the lady that created DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy. And we thought like if she could come out with hers, and she was it was frowned upon. Some of her colleagues were very happy, thought she was brave, and a lot of them thought, wow, I can't believe you did that. Wow. And you know, it's great because I don't know what's up with all the freaking secrets. Like, why why we can't
because
hear.
Once you humanize something, you lose control.
There it is. Yeah. And, to answer that question, all humans have a control issue. It's just a varying degrees, you know. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So how do you want it to come out? So yes. as therapists, as medical professionals yourselves, who diagnoses you?
Who diagnosed me?
If you do it the right way.
Dr. Smith, duh.
Yeah, right. What
the fuck do you think is diagnosing out there? Will, get back into the ship, you know?
Yeah.
Danger.
Danger, that's from Lost in Space.
A psychiatrist, I went to a female psychiatrist as my first therapist. And for the most part, she was excellent. It was just that one day, she said, and I stayed with her after this too. She said something like, maybe if you weren't running around video stores, your marriage would have worked. Something so judgmental. Oh. It was like, oh, easy lady. Like,
that's,
you know,
petty and awful to say to somebody that's paying you for quality advice. Go get fucked, lady.
And then another one just tried to tell me constantly that my mugging was a worse trauma than the sexual assault. And I wanted to say to the lady, what that? So we want to grade, you know, give it, why do we even have to do that? Why do you care? Which one? I used to say to people, whether you lie to me or not, the treatment is the same. I mean, if you're depressed because, you know, you have a head injury versus you've had trauma, I mean, the treatment is usually the same medically. I don't mean to say medically,
the
therapy.
Medicines.
Yeah, the medicines. The therapy is a little bit different. Right. You know, your therapy has to be brought, like people would say, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you? Well, the person's not ready. The insurance company doesn't want to pay, but you know what? The person isn't ready. And you're not supposed to do flooding until the person is ready. Mm-hmm. And Jane flooded me when we were young and it was very mean.
I mean, if that's how she recalls it, I of course think differently.
Oh my gosh. Again, I do not recall.
Yeah,
right. I love that. But you know,
it's going to be the name of this episode.
When you go into a profession like medicine or psychiatry, you often are self-diagnosing, and then you should go to a professional outside of yourself to get the diagnosis.
Really what I was trying to get at. I was like, are you guys telling yourselves like I have this issue and I'm going to fix it myself? Or, you know, because that doesn't seem like it would work.
Right. No. When I was in college, going to school for nursing, and I was in microbiology, I was convinced I was dying of leukemia. Absolutely convinced. So, you know.
Huh. Listen, all the signs are here. It's apparent. I know these things to be factual. Yep. I'm dying of leukemia.
It was all those cigarettes.
I didn't do that. You guys, that story's worse. I didn't do that until I think I was 39 or 40 years old. It was one of the dumbest things I've ever done.
Man, at 40 years old, you picked up smoking cigarettes.
I did.
Being in the profession, because you know, doctors and nurses are the worst patients of all
ever.
I actually had this weird magical thinking, like I would be the only human that didn't get addicted. And I remember when I got addicted, because it wasn't a pretty sight when I had, you know, I would do anything to get to the convenience store. Let's put it that way. And don't get in my way, because I would hurt you to get to the store. Thank you.
Did you guys have to stage an intervention for your cigarette smoking?
Well, you know, I did try, but it failed miserably. You know intervention was? The intervention was Jane and my ex-husband with my temper, not her cigarettes at all. Cigarettes, we just looked at her like, just don't fucking smoke near me.
Right. Nobody can
do. But my other sister used to smoke too every time. So I was dying. I hated that. I love marijuana smoke. But it's not a
cigarette smoke. I just don't stand that.
Yeah.
But do you smoke still? Are you done? Are you still smoking?
Oh, no. And I quit. I did cognitive behavioral therapy on myself, and it took quite a long time, but the hypnosis worked. But the thing about hypnosis is you can challenge it and say, fuck you, I'm going to smoke these cancer sticks. And I did. I
and that's how much you can reprogram your brain. I know a lot of people argue that, but no, you actually can. It's hard,
but it took, it also took years to quit. But I also, so I did a physical thing where I switched to American Spirits. They're kind of less toxic. And then I weaned myself down, but using cognitive behavioral therapy, I got myself down to 3 cigarettes at bedtime. And I actually said, well, if this is the worst, I can just deal with it. And then they sort of slipped out of my life.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you. Thank you. It was hard.
I mean, it's awesome that you were able to do that cognitive behavioral therapy on yourself. If there's someone else though, who's like struggling with it. I mean, that you're actually suggesting that they can go to a therapist to get off of cigarettes.
Yeah. When I was a brand new therapist, I had a couple of people come to me to get off cigarettes. And basically, you know,
you prescribed Nicorette gum first. I remember prescribing that.
Oh, and then Wellbutrin, the antidepressant Wellbutrin got remarketed as this thing called Zyban.
Yes.
And that doesn't work that well because not everyone tolerates Wellbutrin. But then there's Chantix. I did it all. I had Zyban. I had Chantix. But yes, as a therapist, you know what worked was the patients had to go and deal with it on their own. You know, I gave them the basics and whether they went for hypnosis or nobody stayed with me to finish the CBT. But I would like to say to the whole world, it took me years. I don't know how many, but maybe less than 5, but more than 1. For me, and you just have to keep forgiving yourself and okay, you know, you just, it's kind of like an AA thing. I won't smoke a cigarette for this 1 hour, you know, I'm sober for an hour type thing. And then don't down yourself when you mess up, just get up again and say, okay, today's a better day. And you just keep doing it and it'll happen.
When I did CBT on my own, it took 14 years before I saw because my cousin just said, how long did it take you to get to this point in your life? And I counted and it's 14. So I suggest go get help. I mean, we had this on another podcast too. Plan for retirement because we did not. And go get help earlier. Even if you think you don't need it, go get a reality check because you probably do.
Yeah. If you don't think you need it, likely you do.
Absolutely. The clients or patients, one person said, Joan, I thought I was your customer. It was like, sure, whatever you want to be, you could be my customer. What I want to say is they're the healthiest people because they're actually checking with someone else and saying, hey, and how would I respond to this? And what do you think this is coming from? Please don't tell me it's coming from my fucking childhood molestation. And unfortunately, oftentimes it was. But what was wonderful is they were all getting better. So there you have it. The people who say, I wouldn't know what mental illness is, you ought to find out because you probably need some treatment. Stop saying that too. Why do people even say that? I don't say to people, oh, I would never, when somebody says, I suffered a heart attack, the first thing I don't say is, I wouldn't know what that's like. I never had a heart attack. No one talks like that. But yet you feel comfortable speaking like that to psych.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. So I've had the same therapist for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years and it works for me. I have heard though, that it's beneficial to switch therapists so that you can get a different perspective or you get like a fresh viewpoint on, I guess, where you're at. But my concern / fear is that when you start with another therapist is that you go back all the way to the beginning and talk about all the childhood stuff all over again. And I'm just like, not here for it.
Like reopening it. Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And what happens is sometimes you would regress. So unless that new therapist understands that that's already been done and they're going to take over a different route, I would say you're correct in not getting a new one.
Although I might want to say that I got a new one. I wanted just a very brief therapy because I had myself later in life convinced that I was dying of not dying yet, but I had missed. My OBGYN did a particular test and the way it was explained to me is like, okay, you don't have ovarian cancer, but And I thought, uh-oh, death sentence. So I, instead of
except for like HPV is basically a cold of the vagina and everyone has it.
Right. So I went to a psychologist and I told, you know, when they say what brings you here, I explain. And he did not want to go all the way back to my old, all my stories. He wanted to start from there, asked a few strategic questions, and it worked. I only went, I think, two or three times and I was fine.
Great.
It was a little tune-up.
Yes. I wonderful. Mean, sometimes you just need it. I guess it's just about communicating what your needs are to the person that you're trying to go see.
But we talked, I thought it was kind of fun, though, to get the different perspectives of the different therapists.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the resources to do that, right? A lot of people.
We don't have a bunch of casual friends who are also therapists, so it costs us a little more to shop around. But you get it. You get it.
Well, I mean, just you look at America, like the healthcare system and how much it costs for a copay to see a therapist is like, what, five times the amount it costs to go see a medical doctor who's just going to write you a prescription.
Right.
And so a lot of times too, people are kind of pigeonholed based on finances and time availability and all of those other things. However, I am a huge proponent of doing therapy, and there's now so many resources that are available, especially since the pandemic, that are like through apps or online or whatever. Or if you need to do a combo, a little Prozac,
yes, absolutely, talking,
whatever works for you. But
hybrid approach.
Yeah. But, we were talking about how some people though have had bad experiences. And so if you're shopping around, or you're cheaping out or whatever, like it could turn you off to it. Mm-hmm. And you were saying that there was like a friend or, you know, yes, someone that you knew who doesn't ever want to do therapy, maybe because they had a bad experience or anticipating one. Like, I just don't get it though. Like, why stop trying to better yourself because you have a bad experience with one person?
Well, I think that when they enter the office, at least I was told, I used to play dress up and look kind of professional. And
I never did.
Right. And then I went into business with Joan and a third partner, and we dressed down, and countless clients told me how much better it was, how much more comfortable they were, because it can get intimidating when you walk into a doctor's office or a therapist's office and that person you think is going to judge you. And we are all human, and there is this inability to be completely non-judgmental sometimes. So what I would say to anyone that had a bad experience with therapy is, please either say something to that therapist, like, you know, I was very upset with the way, you know, you said blah, 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 because a lot of times the person doesn't even hear what the therapist meant. Or go to someone else, because not every human, like, for example, there's 8 billion of us on this planet.
November 1st.
I don't think I'm I'm retired, but I don't think I was the therapist for all 8 billion.
Right.
You know, there's supposed to be no ego in psych, and people, you know, there's countless times, you know, who else did you see? And I'm like, oh, I know her, I know him. And what didn't work out? And, you know, sometimes you want to send the people back to that person if they're agreeable. And sometimes you move on without, you know, so there doesn't have to be an ego in there.
Right. Some therapists though, like, I don't know. I think I didn't like what he was saying, something about, I didn't know what it was, but I thought, oh, this guy, it's just not going to go with me here. And I paid 2 copays, I think, in advance. Then I just wouldn't go to see him. And he kept calling and asking me to come back. And it's like, God,
I think she,
you're like a
already,
fucking creep.
It's because she already paid a copay. So it was like she had a free visit. Technically, she had
why just fucking reimburse me? I don't want to see your face. I left you because I felt creeped out, so I don't want to see your ass.
It's weird that he was trying to get you to come back. Yeah, he was trying to get in.
Or he was, or he's hurting for clients, right? He thinks, well, if I can get one more session, I can reel her in. And
exactly. Our primary care, one of our primary care doctors hugged me once. Who's that? I don't, no. I'm not going to say
No, don't say name. It. Don't say it. Don't say it.
And I was a little weirded out, but I love him to this day, right? But when the gynecologist tried to hug me once, that was the last visit there.
Why and are all your doctors hugging you?
Yeah, I've never been hugged by a doctor.
It's because my mother didn't when I was little. I think they sensed that my mama did not.
This poor woman also needs a hug. Know. Bring it in, babe. Bring it in. No, that's not how that works.
Our mother was an identical twin as well. And I felt, poor Jane, I felt, because I'm the younger twin and so was our mother.
Yes.
So anytime I went to my mother, I just had this big grin on my face. She was so helpful. I loved everything about her. And Jane,
I have a different experience. And we don't have to get into
Jane wishes she could have gone to our Auntie Rita.
Yeah, I had an auntie. I was in my 50s and it just clicked. Oh my God, Auntie Rita's the older twin. I should have been calling her or going to see her.
She's dead too, though. Bummer.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get old, huh?
And that's the other thing we want to say. Talk to your mother and father because they'll both be dead one day and you're going to want to give them a call. So or your uncle, whoever it is.
Yep,
not
that
the
is
creepy
the truth.
Uncle, the other one.
No, the other creepy uncle. No. Don't call them. But yeah, I have to wholeheartedly agree with that. I think I lost my dad about what, 6-ish years ago, coming up on 6 or 7 years now. Aww. And like he was sick. It's totally fine. I'm happy he's resting peacefully instead of just dealing with Alzheimer's. Nobody wants to see their
parents. Yes. No, our dad had it. You're right.
Yeah. So like, but there's still things now where I'm like, God, I wish I could ask my dad this question because I get it. I'm old enough that I get it now. And yes. I want his opinion on it. And there are so many things about my mom too, that I've been fortunate that she's still around. So I've been able to ask her like, what did you? And she just looks at me like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I made it through. And it's like, do you not remember because of alcohol or trauma? Like, which one was it? But you know what I mean? Like having access to your parents. Yes. Ask your parents is all of the questions. Even if they're toxic human beings, because then it gets just a little more insight as to why you are the way you are.
In fact, a customer of mine said to me, a young boy, I mean, I didn't treat children, don't get me wrong. A young boy to me is in his 20s or 30s, but what he said to maybe not in his 30s, but because that looked like fair game, didn't it? That was really hard sometimes. These fucking gorgeous men would come in and I'm thinking, oh my God, you're so hot, but don't worry. A female client said, how do you do it, Joan? I'm like, yeah, you don't know what they just said. Whatever they said in the therapy session, they got uglier and uglier.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Meanwhile,
the pretty ones say ugly shit.
Meanwhile, us on the outside are going, oh my God, he's working on himself. Like,
look at that. What?
I don't even remember the conversation.
Darn it.
Oh, well.
Oh my gosh,
I know
I'm funny.
Something. Yeah.
Oh, the kid told me, get your parents' social security numbers. That's what he said, because you never know when they're going to die. And he lost his mother and father and then couldn't get the money that was in the will for a long time because he had no access to the bank account. He didn't even know their social security numbers. And after our parents died, I think 12 days apart.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so difficult. It's like, we're in the fucking will. How do I not get this? Yeah. It took almost how many years?
Well,
and then it was,
well,
the coffins are where
our older sister and us, we are
the worst.
We are probably the worst. It took us years. We don't even know how it took us so long. We all have
probate. Yeah.
We all have ADD. We all want the other one to do it.
We never went to form, how to fill out a form school. I never took that class. I don't know how to fill it out. And if our sister didn't go to high school with the probate judge,
oh,
we would have been fucked.
Oh, yeah. Because, well, we know Mary at the probate. The probate part of the town hall. We knew Mary. I know her last name.
She wasn't the virgin.
She helped a different Mary. She knew our names. She probably knew our socials, our marital status. She knew everything because she filled out everything for us.
Sexually transmitted diseases. She knew it all.
Yeah. Because those forms are tough.
They're a lot of work.
They are. Yeah.
But start filling them out now.
Well, but and you're expected to go through all of that while you're dealing with grief, which is
It's
ridiculous.
Tough, isn't it?
And then you're shamed into the coffin because the cheapest coffin, which I thought was out of sight. Like, are you kidding? This is, where are the
like
other
10 grand.
Coffins?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't give a shit.
You're like, I thought we started at cardboard box.
Buy a plastic bag, a sturdy plastic bag. Is that available? Wait, you told me she was going in the vault. You were going to seal a vault. Can't we just throw her in? You know, she's in the vault anyway. Bypass the coffins.
Vacuum seal her up into something real quick. Is that okay? Yeah.
Thank you. Really quick. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So you know what we
real
need?
Quick.
We need the dragons, like on House of the Dragons, to just burn us and let us go, what is it, the dust to dust, or, you know, go back to the earth.
And then have a party.
Yeah.
With all that money you saved from the coffins. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We went on, well, first, my dad was a frugal man. And so we didn't really go with the, like, you know, the nicest. We went with the name, the one that had the best name. Really, truly, that's it wasn't good. Like how it would look. It was really like, would he laugh at this name? And that's what we chose. We chose the Steuben. See, it made you guys laugh.
Yeah.
Well, our father was a carpenter. So the very first one wasn't even wood. So we were like, no, we'll go with the next one. Damn it. Oh, it was such a bummer.
Oh my God. And see, my family, we all are like, it's fine if you cremate us, donate us to science, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
No, whatever.
Yeah.
My son already knows what to do with me or what not to do with me, and we'll call it a day.
Yeah. My whole family already knows what to do with me. I'm 39 because you never know.
You might not get out of this alive. Right.
And I just don't care. Whatever you want to do with this flesh bag is all you. Yeah. I'm
well,
done with it.
So
as soon as
the
I'm
thing
gone.
Is though about not making your family have to make those decisions or get into those arguments.
Yes. Right.
So that's why I wrote it all out specifically. So like everyone just follow my instructions.
Okay, Nicole's probably had this all written out since she was like 15 years old, though, let's be honest. Like, the way she is, maybe 12 to 15 is likely when she realized, like, maybe I should start thinking about this.
I wanted to be thrown in the woods.
Yeah, well, now you can have the birds. There's like a tree cemetery where you
that's
get planted and, yeah.
And I just wanted my body thrown because... Oh. We're the only animal in the entire universe. We are the only animal that cheats at the circle of life. You are supposed to give back. So you don't want to get embalmed. Nobody's going to eat you because you're poisoned now. So I want it to be thrown out and then in the woods and being eaten by animals.
So maybe you can go to like the University of Tennessee or Texas, I can't remember which one, but they have the crimes department and they own all that land and they just have cadavers laying on the land, rotting on purpose.
Why?
So they can study them for science. It's fucking cool.
Oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Because I have to give back, otherwise I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah, no.
Like, but you have to also pick a location so that nobody stumbles upon your body and then they're trying to solve a cold case for 20 years.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, fun fact. Did you guys know this fun fact? It was not until 1970, like in the 70s, that San Francisco outlawed the burial of your family members on your own property. So you can go to San Francisco to this day, very day, and go digging around in people's yards and find bodies that were from the family.
Oh, along with the dog and the cat.
All of them. Everybody's there. One big happy family situation.
Because now they try to say you can't even, now that you can't even bury a cat.
Because death is big business. I mean, and it's awfully 100%. Expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in Germany, did you guys know in Germany, you're not allowed to keep your body? Like they have very strict laws and rules around your dead body. Like,
why do you know so much about this, Sarah?
I'm a weirdo, man. What do you want from me? I collect things as I go. I was in Germany for a long time. I went to Germany for work a lot. And, you know, we talk about other things work.
I got to say, I want to praise Germany for doing, what did they just do? Oh, whoever's the person in Germany, they said in politics,
president, prime minister,
if we're going to have a meeting or anything to do with politics,
no matter what, they're going to serve plant-based 100% to decrease climate change. And I thought, wow, they've got balls. And then Israel has balls. They had the very first vegan commercial, I think, and the very first vegan side of the building, like, your milk is for this mother, not you. It's for the baby, whatever that is. You know, they had ice cream in England for a very short time, human breast milk ice cream. And everyone thought it was disgusting. But back then I was an animal activist. And I used to say to my clients, well, what, you won't suck ice cream off of that tit, but you'll do it off of this other tit.
Oh, women, yeah, no,
and children, women and children you're eating, because there's no such thing as male ice cream. Fucker.
There's, yeah, it's no weird.
Such thing, isn't as a it, boy who made
isn't it so,
that out. You're eating women and children, period.
It's so strange to me that we're okay with animal milk, but human milk is a disgusting concept.
Yes.
So maybe you can't, maybe it's because it just dips into the cannibal realm for some people.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was really a great movie, though, that Cannibal Alive. It was called A True to Life Story.
Oh, yeah. It was
I love that.
It was a true story. The side.
I loved that.
There was a soccer team from South America, I think, and they crashed in some mountain. I can't even think.
They don't discuss it
in
at
the
all.
70s, and they end up
eating
dead people, dead past.
Yeah, they were to stay alive. Yeah,
to stay alive. And the interesting thing is, we saw a documentary there where there was at least one survivor left, and what he said was the only country that had a problem with their fight to survive was the United States of America.
Oh.
And we were the only ones that had something stupid to say. And everybody else said, you do what you have to do to survive.
Because if you watched the documentary, I'm not sure it was in the film, people actually said, if I don't make it, like, I'll
eat
be
me.
Mad at you if you don't.
Yeah. Right.
That, you know, and I agree with it. If you're gonna, you might as well, hey, we eat everything else. But all of a sudden, I mean, that's the most disgusting thing. They're already dead. It's not like I'm going to kill you to eat you. I'm not Dahmer.
Nicole,
Jeffrey.
You might want to update your paperwork to include situations such as tragic plane crashes and whether or not your body can be used as food.
Right.
I don't think I need another, like,
you don't know.
Pages added to my.
It's just one page. It's just maybe one sentence.
Okay.
Yep, upon perishing from several different accidents, you and I meet my demise. Please use my body for sustenance.
Absolutely.
I mean, we do organ donation and we think that's okay.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, until the time comes when the dead body's dead and you're trying to donate the organs and you all of a sudden have a problem with it because you're emotionally attached to every little ounce of that person. Yes, that has happened.
I know.
I think this is a good time to transition to Attagirl.
Sure is. It is.
Before we all start crying.
Right. I know.
We were crying a lot on a podcast, and it was funny. We were telling our sister, we're not going to do those podcasts anymore. Here we are, comedy influencers, crying our eyes out on podcasts. Wonderful. Let's go to Attagirl. What's Attagirl? Yeah.
You're just advocating the human condition. Don't you dare worry about any of that.
Yeah. So Attagirls are when we pat ourselves on the back for something good that we've done or something good that's happened to us. We just like to end on a positive note. You know, we really got to turn this cannibalism conversation around.
Yes.
Who knew?
Yes.
The permission. Yeah. It's about, right? Nicole, it's about consent.
It all comes down to, you're absolutely right. Age appropriate consent. That actually solved all the world's problems. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
So we heard you guys were going to start with Attagirl.
Yeah.
We are. Sarah, do you have one readily
lined
available?
Up, ready to go?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I don't budget shit ever. I just eyeball it a lot. You know, I'm like,
yeah,
we're roughly there. We have roughly enough, but I did myself a little bit of justice and due diligence, and I actually like budgeted some shit. And I found out that I'm like, I have more money than I thought.
Wow.
But I didn't let that change course.
Continuing. Cost in your house.
Oh, all things. So I'm like actively saving money right now, even though I don't necessarily, I shouldn't be, I am.
Why shouldn't you? You should always be saving money.
Not shouldn't, like, you know, because how morally it's wrong, but like in my budgeting, I have more money than I thought. So I'm actually saving instead of using it all like I thought it was. So I'm proud of myself.
Atta girl.
Thank you.
Atta girl.
I like this reception. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Right. We like hearing it in surround sound.
Validation is key.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I'm proud of myself for that.
My girl is that I redid my office for like the millionth time, and I was holding off on posting any pictures of it on the, you know, social medias because I wanted it to be like done. So Sarah bought me a sign for my birthday, and I actually got it up over the weekend. So then I felt like my room was like complete. So then I posted pictures of it and I got a bunch of wonderful comments. It was nice.
Yeah. Cause it's gorgeous.
Wonderful. Atta girl.
Thank you.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I can't think of anything.
Well, I have one. I have one.
Jeez. All right.
I'm the older twin. Ugh. And I'm also, I was considered the many things, but the fat twin because I weighed a half a pound more at birth. Well, that half a pound extended or grew into approximately, well, at one point it was a lot, but it's about 15 pounds now. And for the last 24 hours, I have not stepped on the scale because I don't care. I look in the mirror and say, you know what? You look fine, Jane.
Good. Atta girl.
Hang on. You look better than fine. You look spectacular.
Can I be 14 pounds more than her? I'd rather be 10.
You're spectacular. Yeah, and we can only see way better than fine.
Right. We can only see from like chest up, but like I see your collarbones and whatnot. So it's not like there's a major concern here.
Oh, I know. And you know what? Dirty old men is a real thing. I think everyone knows that. And you know, the joke is all men are dirty old men, but some are still gentlemen and know how to
Some are just dirtier,
right? Some are dirtier than others, right? And so what I have heard is two old men, you know, when you're twins and you kind of dress alike and look alike, there's a lot of people that are speaking to you, strangers. So two times old men said, and you're the same size. And I say, if you think so, you know, yeah, I am.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
men usually know who's the heavier one. And don't get me wrong, there's those men too, and they notice. In fact, the guy from Jamaica, and I'm told this is a very cultural thing, and it was really a compliment.
Yes, it's supposed to be a compliment.
The guy from Jamaica says to Joan, and I'm standing right next to her, has she always been bigger than you? Right, I'm right there. And he said it, and our Jamaican friend said, that be a compliment, Jane.
Yeah, because I mean, nobody looks at me. I look like fucking olive oil. So when Jane and I are out, men stare at her, like they go from like, well, they don't ever start at her face, but I see them going from her face to her feet.
It's usually a neck
face to the feet. And I'm wondering, are you ever going to get to me? But I think they just think I'm the boy.
Yeah. Okay. So see, so instead of being the heavier twin or the fat twin, I'm the voluptuous.
That's what she is. She's sexual. Mm-hmm. She fucking says that she's good in bed, or maybe I just heard.
No, I never.
I heard that she was good in bed. Whatever. Nobody once ever said I was good. In fact, two motherfuckers said I was bad. And do you know both wanted to have sex with me more recently? It was like, you told me I was bad in bed. You know what he said? I was lying. Fuck you. How about go fuck yourself?
No kidding.
Oh my God. Well, I would consider that, you know, we're going to turn that negative into a positive.
Thank you. Atta girl.
Thanks. Atta girl that you said, fuck you to him.
Those boundaries. Yeah. You put up those boundaries. You sure did. And you held them tight. Real firm.
Finally.
Atta girl.
Yeah.
Get fucked.
And, you know.
And you see, the men should be a little nicer and never say that.
Right. Because they both probably would have gotten laid. Right.
A little nicer.
Watch what you say, y'all. 10, 20 years from now, I might come back to haunt you.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So Joan and Jane, Miss Therapy Twins, where can people find your book and get in touch with you?
Amazon. Our book is on Amazon, and it is both an ebook, which is for free,
But the paperback has 24 words of wisdom, which we shouldn't have said words because they're sentences. We should have said there's sentences of wisdom just through the fact, like what Jane said, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, you know, a decreased self-esteem is still there. Sorry, the self-esteem thing is still there. But, you know, yeah, words of wisdom.
If your life isn't going well, you don't even have to read 24 of the affirmations. I'm sorry, words of wisdom, whatever they are. Just take one or two of them and you could start changing your life.
And leave the rest.
Because one of the things I had to do was I apparently never learned gratefulness, like ever. Like all I was a complainer. I didn't know that. And then I started being a little more grateful. And I'm talking, I wasn't grateful for the good things in my life. It was a terrible way to live. So that alone, learning how to be grateful is a wonderful thing.
Amazon.
That's important.
Amazon.
Right. And say the name of your book again.
Under the Hood.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
Say the name of the book again. Under the Hood.
Under the Hood. And then it says how we hotwire our brain, calm the fuck down and let that shit go. Because letting that shit go is the hardest.
Yes.
It's the absolute most.
Yes.
The still worst part of it.
Yes.
It's real difficult. Things get sticky. Yep. You don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
But you gotta.
And don't get discouraged though. That's the other thing. You could fail. Please keep going. It just takes a while. That's all.
Right. I mean, remember.
Sometimes it takes 1 year. Sometimes it takes 14.
Right.
And some of our greatest innovators in life itself have failed 100 times before they, you know, discovered electricity, for example, or the wheel or fire. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm.
Or right. Orgasms. Yeah.
Or female orgasms, right?
Those were discovered around 1920, I heard.
Well, it's
celebrating 100 years.
It's been so fun to have you guys on. Like, this honestly is just such a great midday conversation to, you know, like energize us. And everyone can go find more information about you guys. Or are you still, do you still take clients or?
Oh, absolutely not. We didn't even renew our license because we're rebels. Nope. But I mean, whatever.
We're done.
No. Okay. Thank you. But thank we get you. Booked. We actually get booked for Q&A and it's lovely. Whether it's a university or a coffee shop, it's wonderful.
Oh, love okay. Yeah.
So good stuff.
So they can go to therapytwins.com then.
Absolutely.
Get in touch with you. Okay.
All right, cool.
And then for us, you can follow us on Instagram at @homance_chronicles. If you're interested in being a guest or have a recommendation for a Hoe of History episode, you can email us at homancepodcast@gmail.com. And we also have a closed group on Facebook called the Homance Chronicles, a judgment free zone, where we share extra naughty bits. So thanks again, ladies. This was
yeah,
so
no
much
kidding.
Fun.
Oh, thank you so much. And we will connect with you online as well.
Okay, heck yeah. Perfect.
Homance out.
I want to go to that group.
Thanks for making us laugh.